morning. I'm Glenn Coble. You're listening to On the Air, and I have a special guest here, which we have every third Thursday of the month, Fred Malone from the Historical Society. I keep saying that. By the way, did you see that I made you the station's official historian?
No, I didn't see that.
I did that on my advertisement about this show. And then
well, I appreciate that.
And at the end, I told people, don't tell Fred that he is that because he'll ask for money.
Well, this is a problem, one of my problems. I can't say no to anything, and I never charge anybody anything. My wife.
I'm glad to hear that.
Well, I got asked to do something for the Delaware County Historical Society. They're having a big fundraiser in October, and they wanted an Elvis character. I said, well, I don't do Elvis, but I do Pelvis, Elvis's older cousin. And they were okay with that. And the lady said, well, what do you charge? And I said, just feed me. So when I told my wife, she says, and I suppose you're not taking any money. And I said, well, you supposed right.
Did you take her so she could get fed?
No, I didn't. I suppose I should ask her. I oftentimes do, but...
That's what she was hitting for.
She wanted a free meal, yeah.
Exactly. All right.
No, that's fine. Thank you very much. I appreciate the honor. I'll take that as an honor.
All right.
So while we're kind of on Christmas movies, I don't know why, but that just happened because they come to the stable. But how about Going My Way?
Going My Way. I've heard of it.
Bing Crosby, Barry Fitzgerald.
Was that the original, the originator of White Christmas?
Who? This particular movie? No, there's no connection.
Oh, okay.
No connection whatsoever. This is about two priests.
I have seen that. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Barry Fitzgerald, one of my favorite character actors of all time. That was an excellent, great movie, Christmas. Also, The Bells of St. Mary, which is a sequel to Going My Way.
Is that right?
Yeah, sequel to that. Yeah.
I have seen that one more.
And again, Bing Crosby plays a priest. This one has Ingrid Bergman in it.
Not a bad looking
great role. Actress. Great actress. Great actress.
Oh, who cares about the acting?
Yeah. Yeah. How about The Great Escape with Steve McQueen?
I remember that a long time ago.
Steve McQueen, one of my favorite male actors, male adventure type actors, did all of his own stunts.
Didn't he jump a fence with a motorcycle?
And The Great Escape, he did. Yeah. And that was him on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
He did all of his own motorcycle stunts.
Wow.
He was a motorcycle rider. And he did all of his own stunts in that movie, much to the chagrin of both the director and the producer.
And his insurance company.
The other movie that he did all of his own stunts on was Bullet.
Oh,
with the Mustang.
Yeah,
Fastback. I think it was a 69 Fastback.
You could buy a Bullet several years ago.
Well.
And they were really expensive.
And on one of the shows, either... the Pawn Stars or the other one that comes out of Las Vegas, the guy that fixes stuff. Somebody bought the original Bullet, the original Bullet, and bought that car and had it totally restored. And I think the Pawn Stars guys bought it.
I wonder how many millions it's worth now.
I wouldn't have any idea. But yeah, he did all of his own stunts and all those things.
Yeah, cool.
Along those same lines, Ryan's Express with Frank Sinatra, also a World War II movie where he's trying to get these guys out.
All right.
Out of Germany.
We do have a caller, and I forgot to give the phone number, but we'll bring the caller in. Hang on just a second. Hi, you're on the air.
You can buy the brand new Bullet put out by Ford.
Is it brand
new?
I
saw one in the Matthews showroom.
Is it there now?
I recall it was seven. It's been some time ago.
Okay.
Maybe a year ago. I believe it was 70-some thousand.
Oh, my. But it's like a reproduction. Reproduction of the Bullet.
Well, no, it's not a reproduction. It's just the 2020 model year, souped-up engine, suspension, all kinds of stuff.
Chrome rim around the gas tank filler. That's what I remember about the Bullet.
Yeah.
Had a lot of chrome.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, yep, 70-some thousand dollars.
Wow.
Which...
Wow.
Unbelievable.
I don't think I'm going to own one.
American mass-produced vehicle.
Yeah, I remember I sold Fords for 2 years when I couldn't find other work. But I remember when they came out with the Ford, what was it?
Cobra? Shelby Cobra?
No, the Thunderbird. Ford Thunderbird. And the Ford Thunderbird was selling at $35,000, but you couldn't get one for less than $45,000 because they just jacked the price up because everybody wanted them at the time. But that was back when $45,000 was worth something.
Well, when wasn't the Thunderbird, didn't that come out, a year after the Corvette, right?
This was the remake of the Thunderbird.
Oh, the remake.
Yeah.
Back in 90, with, whatever it was.
Yeah, it didn't look like that. I love that old Thunderbird, but it didn't look like that. But it was kind of interesting. It was designed by a woman, so if you were a tall man, you hit your head every time you got in under the hardtop. You couldn't avoid it.
Hey, Fred,
yes.
when you get done, could you give me a call?
Sure thing. We'll do.
All right. Hey, good show.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, don't forget that. Give him a call.
I will. I'll make a note of it right now. It's a busy day. I've got to go pick up tables for a yard sale. We're having a big yard sale out in our area tomorrow.
Well, make sure to let me know where it is, and we'll announce it on
Swap Shop. Yeah. I'll do that. Okay, so The Great Escape, Steve McQueen, another genre-type thing. They're trying to get out of Germany. The last scene of the movie, very poignant. He's running to catch the train. They've loaded everybody up on the train. The Germans are firing at him, and he gets shot right at the last scene.
Yeah, I remember that.
Frank Sinatra. We don't usually credit Frank Sinatra as being much of an actor, but he did do several good
Tony Roma series.
Yeah, Tony Roma series. He did a lot of films and was very good at them.
Yeah.
How about Run Silent, Run Deep?
Yeah, I remember that.
Clark Gable, submarine movie.
Yeah, submarine movie. I think I didn't like it because I'm claustrophobic.
Like submarines.
Oh, and it scared the daylights out of me, yeah.
Well, that'll do it to you. I don't think I could have ever been in a submarine myself. But the movie was very good. I was a Clark Gable fan. He did a lot of great movies. I think I've got a couple more of his listed in here somewhere. Another guy from Ohio, Cat is Ohio, eastern side of the state. Yep.
Yeah.
So another great actor. Going to rattle off several here. You'll all recognize who did these. Rio Bravo, Stagecoach, McClintock, Sons of Katie Elder, Rio Lobo.
Okay, we know
Green
who
Green Berets. and I'm not sure if I'm getting the title right on this one, but he played a takeoff character of Red Adair who fought oil well fires.
Yeah, sure.
I think it was called Hellfire or something like that.
Yes, I think that was...
Great movie.
I liked that movie, and I wasn't a big John... am I supposed to say?
You can say that.
John
Wayne. That's all right. Yeah. That's all right. Yeah.
I also liked I liked McClintock.
Yeah, McClintock was a good movie.
I don't
movie.
Know why. But
well,
yeah.
and of course, Rooster Cogburn, another one. I got this back in the Western section, but while we're talking about John Wayne. And really one of my all-time favorites of John Wayne was his very last film that he was dying when he made, The Shootist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was his last film.
That, yeah.
And I think, to his credit, probably one of his best films ever.
Is that right?
Yeah. 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 And do you remember the lady that was a co-star in that?
No, I don't.
Lauren Bacall.
Oh, my.
Humphrey Bogart.
How could I forget?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, much older.
Like I told you, I think off the air, I did not like John Wayne's early films.
Yeah.
I thought they all looked alike. Yeah. I did like his later films.
Well, his very first film, 1939, actually, I should have mentioned that with the 39s up there, Stagecoach.
Oh, yeah.
That was a John Ford movie.
I did like that movie.
Yeah, that was a John Ford movie. And that was his first. It Happened One Night. Clark Gable. Claudette Colbert. Two famous scenes in that movie. Everybody will remember if they've seen the movie. They're in one of those motel cottages alongside the road that we used to see, all torn down now. But they had to string a blanket between the two single beds because they weren't married. And then the other scene they're trying
to
hit.
I think I saw that on Lucy.
they did a takeoff on that. The other scene in that movie that I remember, they're trying to hitch a ride on the road. He keeps thumbing and nobody will stop. She walks out there, pulls her dress up just a little bit to expose her leg, and the first car stops. Yeah, screeches to a halt.
Yeah, I remember. I do remember that movie.
Yeah. Another Gary Cooper movie, Meet John Doe. That's kind of a Christmas type movie.
I've never seen
He's a bum. Who this lady that was a newspaper reporter and I can never remember the girl's name that played that part. She was in a couple of his movies, but they do a story about him. And he's a ordinary every man's man, and it turns out they meet on top of the Empire State Building on Christmas Eve. Great movie. A number of years later, kind of a sequel made with that same ending, Sleepless in Seattle with Tom Hanks, mm-hmm. where they meet on top of the Empire State Building on Christmas mm-hmm. Eve or New Year's Eve, whatever the case might be. But anyway,
I like
another great
movie.
Yeah.
Now you're not mentioning too many musicals.
I have a whole section on this. Okay. We haven't got to musicals yet.
They're my favorite.
Well, like I said, we're probably going to have to do some of this next month again because we're not going
to
get it all. Yeah. And please call in if you've got a favorite movie or if you've watched any of these and have comments. I'd love to hear your comments.
While Fred's looking at his notes, 740-383-9944. It's my fault, Fred. I keep forgetting to mention that.
How about Father's Little Dividend? With Spencer Tracy and Elizabeth Taylor, a very young Elizabeth Taylor.
Must have been.
Spencer Tracy. This is a sequel from Father of the Bride. That also starred Spencer Tracy.
I think I've seen
this
that.
This was a sequel. The daughter, Liz Taylor, got married. She's now pregnant, going to have a child. Father's Little Dividend. Years later, a sequel to that, Father of the Bride, made with, the banjo player, comedian, used to be on Saturday Night Live.
Martin?
Steve Martin, yep. Right. Made a sequel to that movie. Or actually just a remake. William Powell was a really great actor in the 30s and 40s particularly, and some 50s. Another William Powell movie, My Man Godfrey. Remember
Never
My
saw
Man
that
Godfrey?
One.
With Carol Lombard. Carol Lombard, who was a comedian, mm-hmm. married to Clark Gable. She was killed in a plane crash when they were married, almost destroyed Clark Gable.
Yeah, I remember her.
We haven't talked any about Audrey Hepburn yet. One of my favorite movies with Audrey Hepburn was Sabrina.
I don't know that one either.
Starred Humphrey Bogart, Audrey Hepburn, and William Holden, another good actor from the 40s and 50s. Bill Holden did a lot of great stuff. Another one of my favorite Audrey Hepburns, Roman Holiday.
Yeah, I have seen that.
With Audrey Hepburn and Gregory Peck. And, of course, the piece de resistance, so to speak, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Audrey Hepburn.
Who hasn't seen that one?
George Peppard in that particular case.
If you're over 50, you've seen that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You mentioned early It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart.
Loved it.
We've talked about some of Jimmy Stewart's.
You know, it wasn't
before,
loved initially.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't. It took quite a while for it to actually
and now it's
become popular. It's a classic.
If you don't see it at Christmas time, you're not going to have Christmas.
Well, on some stations, and I think USA Today, or not USA Today, that's a newspaper, USA Network or one of those, shows it 24 hours straight, back-to-back-to-back-to-back on Christmas Eve.
That might be a little much.
Yeah, but they do, and they do that with The Christmas Story, too, which isn't on my list because that was just made in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
But that's become a real classic.
Well, they do that because they know that the different people can watch at different times, and everybody wants to see it.
Sure, but that Christmas Story, of course, you can go to Cleveland and spend a night in that house now.
You can
that's
spend
a bed and breakfast now. Yeah, you can actually spend the night now. I'm not sure whether they give you breakfast or not, but you can rent the house and spend one or two nights or three nights or whatever to keep.
Do they still have
there.
The light?
I think everything's the same. The Christmas tree's up. The leg light is in the leg lamp.
Love
is in the window.
Leg lamp.
And they've got a little gift shop there now connected to it, so you can buy all things related to the Christmas story. So
cool.
And Garen McGavin was played the dad in that movie.
Oh, is that his name?
Darren McGavin. Yeah. He was one of my favorite character actors.
Oh, he is a great character.
He had a TV series on called The Night Stalker.
Yeah.
You remember The Night Stalker?
Mm-hmm,
that was his series. Good actor. And, of course, Citizen Kane, which is listed as, what, number three in the all-time mm-hmm. all-time list?
That's my number one.
great picture. One that kind of falls in the line of To Kill a Mockingbird and Inherit the Wind, The Rainmaker.
Yeah.
With Burt Lancaster and Katharine Hepburn.
Yeah, that's one
of the top ten on this
list, yeah.
Another Humphrey Bogart, Katharine Hepburn movie, African Queen.
Yeah, of course.
Very, very popular movie.
One of his more famous movies, I think.
Actually, both. Yeah, yeah, one of his and hers.
Yeah,
both. And about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe not that long ago, they showed that at the Palace on the big screen.
Oh, I
and
bet
if
that
you've
was
never
cool.
seen it on the big screen, which this was the first time I'd seen it on the big screen,
I'd never seen it.
Was fabulous because that came out, I think, sometime in the early 50s, maybe. I don't
probably
know what the date
yeah.
was, but.
Yeah.
Fabulous, fabulous yeah, movie. If you haven't seen it, of course, she is a missionary in Africa. Her father is killed, and Humphrey Bogart runs a broken-down steamboat that runs up and down one of the rivers there
yeah.
in Africa. But he rescues her, and together they make a trip down the river. It's a fantastic movie. Really is. Excellent, excellent movie. Humphrey Bogart I talk about a lot because Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall were, of course, married at Malabar. They were. He was a great friend of Louis Brumfield. They actually met in New York in the 20s. Humphrey Bogart was a struggling actor on Broadway, and Louis was doing reviews for one of the New York newspapers, play reviews. And he happened to review a play that Bogart was in. It wasn't a particularly great review with regard to Bogart, but he did like the play. And so the story goes, and we get this second and third hand, but I'll tell the story as we've heard it. Bogart walks into a bar, sits down beside Louis Brumfield. Louis doesn't know him. He doesn't know Brumfield other than from the review. Sits down beside him, orders up a beer, and they start chatting. And he asks, Bogart asks Brumfield what he does for a living. He said, I write reviews for plays. He said, oh, is that right? He says, yes. He said, yeah, he said, I think I just read one of your reviews. In fact, it wasn't very complimentary at all. You liked the play, but you didn't like the actor at all in it. He said, oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that play. He said, yeah, he said, the actor was kind of bad in that play. And Bogart says, yes, that was me. I was the actor. And he said, you're right. I was kind of dogging it in that play. And they became fast friends and were friends for the rest of their lives.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Bogart used to come and spend a lot of time at the farm. They would meet up when Brumfield was out in Hollywood doing work on screenwriting for some of his novels that were turned into movies. And they both died of cancer a year apart. The dogs that Bogart had in his house were gifts from Brumfield. They had boxer dogs. So yeah.
I guess I'm going to have to make a phone call. I had a critic. We were in a national championship, and I was Charlie Brown in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. And the critic said it was a great show. We ended up, by the way, third nationally, so we did pretty well. He said it was a great show, but it sure would have been nice if Charlie Brown could remember his lines.
Oh.
Well, I guess I better apologize.
I tell you what, I used to do a lot of plays in high school and college, and I've often, my wife often says to me, she says, why don't you go down and try out for a play at the Palace Theater? And I said, well, I would, but I don't remember lines anymore.
That's my problem.
So
yeah.
Whenever I do something, I never have anything prepared. It just comes to me.
Yeah.
So I ad lib. You know, I just make stuff up.
Well,
so.
I did that throughout my entire career. And I was in acting from the time I was in high school through college. And I made up lots of lines.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the problem with that is the people you're playing with,
that's
they're
it.
Expecting
that's
a,
it.
A lead line.
And that's what used to confuse the people that were with me in plays in high school and college. You know, I never stuck to the book. And it's like, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm doing to these people, but I guess I'm really screwing them up, you know, because.
Well, was this a late in life thing for you? Because I realized that I could no longer be an actor.
Oh.
I was an actor for 2 years,
yeah.
And I realized at age 25 I could no longer be an actor because I couldn't remember the lines.
Well, that's my problem. I it was a young age for me, and
yeah.
It was not just the fact that I couldn't memorize them, but part of the fact is I'm a big ham, and I couldn't stick to the script.
Oh,
so
you must be my brother.
Yeah, I think we're probably related in some other life. Yeah, but acting was fun. I loved it.
And, I did too.
And really, this is kind of my release with the Historical Society and doing character actors and reenacting.
Mm-hmm.
You can put your own spin on it because most people don't know what all these dead people look like or act alike.
Yeah.
And so you can put your own spin on it and still teach the history of what they were.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
It's a chance to play dress up.
Yeah,
that's really
that's
what it
right.
is.
It is.
So another, I've got several Humphrey Bogart favorites. I'm just going to run through the list. If there's any one that you want to talk about in particular, To Have and Have Not, that's where Bogart and Bacall first met, was on the
scene. Oh, is that right?
Was on the set of To Have and Have Not. Famous line in that one, she is leaving the room, leaving his room, and she turns around and says, if you need me, just whistle. You know how to whistle, don't you? And he says, yeah. She said, just pucker up. pucker up and blow.
Yeah, yeah. Push your lips out and blow, or
pucker up and blow.
Yeah.
Casablanca, a big favorite. Everybody knows Casablanca. Yeah, favorite absolutely. Line, here's looking at you, kid, at the end. They almost cut that scene.
Really?
That whole scene was almost cut on the airstrip.
When somebody mentions Casablanca, all I do is hear piano music in the background.
Oh, yes. You must remember this.
Yeah.
A kiss is still a kiss. Yep.
Yep.
All right. Maltese Falcon.
Yes.
Another
of
great
course.
One. Key Largo, starring Edward Robinson.
Did not see that, but I know it was.
Takes place in the Florida Keys with a hurricane passing through. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Oh, I'm sorry. I go back a minute. Petrified Forest. Remember that one, Humphrey Bogart?
No, I do not.
That was a kind of a film noir.
Okay.
He was a gangster in that one. Treasure of Sierra Madre.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Great one. The Big Sleep.
I remember the name.
They starred together
on
that one. Bogie and Bacall starred that one. So that's some of my favorite Bogart movies. He made quite a few others. He paid Sam Spade a number of his movies.
Sure, he did.
Those were very popular.
Yeah.
I mentioned Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. That was a Tracy and Hepburn movie. I think that one was actually made in the 60s. But do you remember who was coming to dinner?
Yeah, it was Sidney Poitier.
Sidney Poitier, absolutely.
Yeah, I love that movie.
That was a great movie.
That was the beginning of my Black Lives Matters support.
Really?
Yeah. Really.
Well,
I love that movie.
Sidney Poitier would do it.
Yeah.
Mr. Chips, and also what was the one where he played the school teacher in England? Oh, I can't think
of it.
I didn't write
Sir
it.
Sir with Love.
Sir with Love, yes. Another excellent movie with Sidney Poitier. And also the series that, or the movie that turned out with the TV series where he played the detective that went down south. I can't think of
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Well, and he was not very well respected
in
the South.
No, he wasn't,
South,
not
yeah.
at all.
Let's go to the phone. We've got a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Did you come up to Sir with Love?
Yeah, we just got it.
Just
okay. And The Heat of the Night.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the one. Heat of the, and The Heat of the Night, yeah.
The Heat of the Night.
Was a great movie. What was the police chief's name? I can see his face.
The
I can't
actor?
See his name.
What'd you say?
The actor's name?
Yeah, the actor.
Rod Steiger.
Rod Steiger.
Yeah.
You got a better memory than me.
I kind of watched it. A buddy of mine will watch those over and over again at text lines from the movies. They call me Mr. Tibbs, things like that.
Yeah.
So in The Heat of the Night was really pretty groundbreaking. I think it was before Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Oh, yes, it was.
Were you a fan of Sidney Poitier?
I remember watching, Channel 10 used to have movies on in the morning as a kid. I remember Poitier as a Moor and Richard Widmark as a Viking, and they were all going after the bell. I can't for the life of me remember what the name of that
was.
I think I remember that too.
Yeah.
The bell was up on a big hill, and there was something about the Poitier character was killing people. You ride the dragon or whatever, and it was like a slide that had a saw blade in it, and they shoved
kind of one of those weird ones.
At the end, the bell was inside this chapel. And they tried to lower it, and it broke, and it sank the ship. so can't for the life of me remember it. But if you go on the Internet Movie Database, you'll
we'll find it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, interesting.
I'm glad we got Terry to help us out on some of this.
Yeah, well, we should have had him in.
This is another reason why I don't do plays, because I can't remember the lines in my memory. But now later on the day, it may hit me just like that. You know, it'll pop right into my head.
Yeah.
So, where were we?
We were talking about
Heifer. Okay. Pat and Mike. You remember that series?
There was
a couple of movies that Spencer Tracy and Audrey Hepburn made together. Not Audrey, Katharine Hepburn made together. She was a I think in Pat and Mike they were both attorneys, but in one of the movies they made, he was a newspaper reporter and she was something else. But those two played off together. Excellent. And, of course, they had a love interest for a number of years that was kept secret and then finally, you know, came out.
Yeah.
And Spencer Tracy's last movie, which I didn't write down but just came to me, one of my all-time favorites, not my favorite, but one of my all-time favorites, especially in comedy, it's A Mad, 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 Mad World.
Yeah, I remember seeing
what
that.
What a cast of characters
I did
that
not
movie.
Like that movie.
Did you really?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
it was
too
overdone.
I think that was probably the reason I liked it, was because it had all these great actors in it.
It did.
And they all had little vignettes, you know, throughout the movie. There were sub-stories going on.
That's how they advertised that show, with this person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it went on.
Yeah, it was fabulous. Yeah. Jonathan Winters.
Yeah.
Mickey Rooney.
Anytime you have Jonathan Winters on, it's going to be overdone.
Edie Adams.
Yeah.
Just it goes on and on and on and on.
Did.
Yeah, great movie. Jonathan Winters. Haven't talked about Jonathan Winters at all. He was really more of a TV star.
Yeah, he was.
Than anything, but another guy from Ohio.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He used to make Johnny Carson laugh
fall
off his chair.
I think he was probably one of the most repeated guests on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Yeah,
because Johnny loved him.
Funny. And his characters were fabulous.
Yeah. All right.
Horror movies.
Let's talk
a little about horror movies. Were there any horror movies listed in the top 100?
The Thing.
Oh, The Thing. I had that written down.
Yeah, The Thing was on there. One of my favorite horror movies was House of Wax.
House of Wax.
And
Vincent
that was
Price.
Yes. It was terrifying.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
That they could actually do that to somebody.
Yeah.
I'll just start down the list. Some of the earlier ones, having grown up in the southern and central part of Ohio, Channel 10, which Terry mentioned a couple of times earlier, had on Friday nights, they had Chiller Theater that followed the news. And, of course, back in the 50s, you were seeing a lot of the movies that Vincent Price, Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi, those guys were making back in those days. So a lot of these movies starred these people, Lon Chaney Jr. and Sr.
Would you consider War of the Worlds a horror film?
Well, I'm not sure whether you would call it a horror film or not, but it was probably more of a science fiction than anything.
It
could fit in that broad category. They were usually shown around the same time.
It had monsters in it.
Oh, sure, absolutely. But Frankenstein, the original Frankenstein, of course, a lot of sequels sprang off of that. Son of Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, you name it.
Dracula.
Dracula. Yeah. The Wolfman.
Oh, yeah.
Lon Chaney. How about The Invisible Man?
I love
a lot of people
Invisible
don't remember
Man.
The Invisible Man.
Oh, I do.
That was a good movie.
And I love the TV show, The Invisible Man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who was that? David Niven, was
that
it?
That played on the TV show?
Yeah.
I'm not sure who did the TV
or
show.
Or Peter Lawford. It was
somebody
famous
in that.
Actors.
Yeah, somebody famous. Yeah. Of course, The Mummy.
No, I never saw The Mummy.
The Mummy, that was Boris Karloff, who was actually wrapped up as a mummy. House of Wax, which you mentioned just a minute ago with Vincent Price. Vincent Price did a lot of those, not sequels to House of Wax, but those same type of, where he played an 18th century or 19th century character.
The Pendulum.
The Pendulum,
yeah.
I wrote that one down.
Yeah.
The Raven, which had
Vincent
Price and Peter Lorre.
Another terrifying guy.
Yeah, terrifying to look at.
Yeah.
But Vincent Price, Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney Jr. and Sr. Of course, Sr. was Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Which wasn't really a horror movie.
No, it wasn't. It was a romance movie.
It actually was. Yeah. Actually was. And actually started out as a silent movie. And then,
yes,
and
it
was,
did,
and
didn't
then was
it?
Made
yes.
as a talkie, right.
Yeah, yeah. I love that movie. I guess I sympathize
yes,
with
somewhat with the character with yeah. that individual.
I think
yeah.
that's what was intended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was his name? Quasimodo.
Yeah.
Quasimodo. The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Of course, that was Lon Chaney, and they always referred to Lon Chaney as the man of a thousand faces.
And didn't it take him like 4 hours to
to make up every day? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And he did his own.
And the
hunch
on his back weighed something like 35 pounds.
Wow.
So you had to be.
That's why he walked that way.
He had to be in fabulous physical condition in order to play some of the parts that he did. In fact, all of these guys really that played these characters in these horror movies had to be in excellent physical condition for what they were demanded to do.
And they did a lot of kind of acrobatics.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Especially in that one where he's climbing up into the bell tower.
And we have to remember, too, in those days, they didn't have computers to recreate sets behind them.
Right.
They had to build these sets. That's the thing with today's movies. When you're watching one of these movies, you don't know what's real and what isn't real.
Yeah, you don't.
Because the background that you're seeing is probably all created on a computer.
And it looks like it's
Oh, it looks like
absolute.
You're right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, I really have to give credit to those people that were building sets in the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s because they were really creating this artificial scene that we were looking at. They weren't pulling it up on a computer and having it all done digitally for them.
That's one of the reasons why I love the films of the 20s and 30s,
right.
Because they had nothing.
They had nothing.
They just had to do it.
And when you look at some of them, obviously they look a little corny.
Oh, they do.
Especially some of the early silent films. They do look corny because, like you said, they were just starting out. They had nothing to work with. They had to create everything that they did. And it made for a much tougher place to work in when you were doing that.
Yeah, and a lot of ingenuity, though.
Absolutely.
And they built on that, and then they built on top of that, and
absolutely.
So forth.
Yeah. Absolutely. How about Them?
Oh, I love
Them. You
remember
Them?
Absolutely. That is probably one of my favorite.
The problem with a lot of these earlier movies, unless the character... or less the actors portraying the characters in those movies, went on to become semi-famous. I don't remember their names.
Well, you can't remember.
I remember their faces. Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phone. Hang on. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, you just went past what you were talking about, the effects in that.
That's That's all right. We're not done. Go ahead.
A lot of them, and the only name that stands to mind is Albert Whitlock. Matte painters.
The background that
would be put before the camera, and the camera would shoot through a certain area, but it would still look as though you're in this village or whatever.
And they were so realistic.
Oh, they were, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, these matte painters were unbelievable.
I just saw a special on that. TCM did a special on that several months ago about those matte painters and some of the mats that were still being preserved in Hollywood.
And they're very expensive
if you want to buy one. I guess you can buy them.
Yeah, you
can. There are some for sale. But I'm a Gunsmoke watcher, and I watch Gunsmoke every day. And the earlier Gunsmokes had a lot of matte painting in them.
Oh.
A lot of matte painting. Yeah.
The biggest thing, though, is when you look at the special effects and things for the burning of Atlanta and Gone with the Wind and all of the...
I forgot about that.
Well, they were somewhat kind of animated when they had all the soldiers laying out there because they were all dummies.
Sure.
And they were all wired.
Sure.
And, that kind of stuff. So, a lot of manpower used to go in, and there's a lot more brain power.
Yeah.
In the U.S. cinema today, and that's why I kind of favor British films, because they don't have all of the special effects. They're always character developed, story driven.
Yeah. You know, one of the things my wife said to me the other day, we watch BritBox quite a bit, and the current the current movies or shows that we watch, my wife asked me, she said, have you noticed that there isn't anybody on these movies that looks different than normal people? They aren't beautiful.
Yeah.
British don't really apparently prize beauty as much.
I don't think they worry about it as much.
What happens when you live in a foggy, wet area?
With a limited population, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Terry, before you leave, did you hear me talking earlier today about in 1939 when The Rains Came, the film that was made off of Louis' book, won the Oscar for special effects in 1939?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
I heard that.
And, you know, to be up against The Wizard of Oz and the Burning of Atlanta, you know, that was quite an accomplishment. Yeah. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, that movie was a very famous movie in 1939. So
I'm going to go home and pull it up.
When the theater, when the motion picture industry, and that was really beginning in the golden years.
Absolutely.
The years after sound came in and that. I mean, it was an industry in and of itself.
Sure.
And gee whiz, the thousands of people that made a motion picture possible.
Oh, the extras. Yeah.
Cost prohibitive, but, you know, with computer generated stuff, which they're go for this, that, and whatever.
But they had the, and a lot of people don't realize this, but they had the premiere, the movie premiere of The Rains Came in Mansfield. At the Renaissance Theater, yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Wow.
That the premiere was held there. And there was another theater in Mansfield. It was held at two different locations. I can't remember the name of the other theater, but that's where the premiere was held. So you had all these people that starred. Tyrone Power was in that movie, they were all came to Mansfield for that premiere. That's something that we're thinking about doing sometime in the future. The Malabar Farm Foundation is thinking about having a re-premiere of The Rains Came at the Renaissance Theater.
That'd be cool.
Doing it big, you know, like the Hollywood premiere would be. Yeah.
Well, you know what would be nice is if we could start small and Marion have its own film festival.
That would be cool.
Start with students and college students and that, and then kind of see how things grow.
Yeah.
And
the
theater would be perfect. I mean, they're always looking for things to do.
Yeah. Well, I think wasn't that originally built to be a movie theater?
Yeah.
That was the design.
Yep.
Well, we got a couple more to talk about before we go off. So.
Yep. Okay, let me let you go.
Okay,
bye-bye, Terry. All right.
Okay, so do you remember what movie Steve McQueen first starred in?
No, I do not.
We talked about Steve McQueen a couple times earlier. It was a horror movie.
Really?
Man, just as soon as I mention it, you're going to go, I remember that movie. The Blob.
Oh, of course. He was in that movie?
That was his first movie.
I'll be darned.
That was Steve McQueen.
That was a horrible movie.
Very first movie. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a horrible movie. It was just
unusual. I remember the trailers for it. You know, he said, here it is, you know, and it's coming out the door. Yeah. And absolutely. I'm never going to another movie again, you know, because that's where it came out. All these kids are running out of the movie theater. And that was his first movie.
Did you ever see The Tingler?
Oh, yes.
Well, I went to
corny that was.
Oh, it was very corny. But I went to a theater where they had
the seats underneath the seats. I did too.
And it would shake
your seat.
And
yeah.
It would scare the daylights out of you.
Yeah. It was on probably 6 months or a year ago. It was on TCM again, and before the movie, they were talking about all those things that they did in the theaters, and they even had a doctor and a nurse standing by.
Probably more for effect than anything.
Well, probably, but they said, "Do not worry, we have medical personnel available."
Well, supposedly it was an animal that grew in your spine.
Yes, exactly.
When you were frightened.
Exactly.
And it would frighten you.
It was it was spooky, but it was also very corny.
Very corny.
Very corny, very corny.
All right.
Oh, well, anyway, I'm going to save musicals to the next time.
Okay.
Because I know
that'd
that's
be good.
Like your favorite
I love
thing.
Musicals, yeah.
But real quick, a couple of westerns, and I'm going to write down some more, but we did talk about Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. How about all those movies that Clint Eastwood made? Spaghetti Westerns, remember all those? The Good, the Bad, the Ugly?
I'm not a big fan because they all start to look alike.
They do.
But They are very interesting.
And when you stop and think that they were made in Italy.
I didn't realize that.
They were made in
That's why they're called spaghetti
westerns. Yeah. They were made in Italy, and the topography of where those movies were made in Italy looked so much like the topography of the West here in the United States. So, but it was much cheaper.
A lot cheaper.
They could make them on low budget. Yeah. But that was really where he got his start in the movie business. Do you know where he got his start in television?
I have no idea.
Wagon Train.
Really? He was on Wagon Train.
He was on Wagon Train and Rawhide.
I watched both of those.
Both of those.
Quite often.
Clint Eastwood in them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. And I was watching an episode of Gunsmoke last night, and there were several character actors in there. There was a bad group of guys that came to town, and they were going to rob the town of Dodge while Matt Dillon was out of town doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at this guy, I thought, I know who that is. Boy, he looks familiar. That looks like Indiana Jones.
Was it?
And it was. It was. So I scrolled down through the cast of character. You know, you can do that on.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it was. It was. Now I can't think.
Yeah,
of his
now
name.
I can't either.
Yeah, the guy that played Indiana Jones. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there he was, in an episode of Gunsmoke that took place, I think, in the early '60s.
Yeah. Well, he isn't a young man.
No, he's not. Okay, just wanted to mention, so I guess I'll come back next month and we'll talk about movies some more.
Sure, let's do that.
In fact, bring your list of 100 best.
Okay.
And we'll go through that list and see how many of them we've actually seen and remember.
Now, of the 100 bests that are on here, and I was trying to look just then to see who designed it, and I can't find it, or who designated the 100 best, but there must be half of them I've never heard of. And they've added a lot of foreign language film. Not
I'm sure.
A lot,
I'm sure that's probably true. Yeah. But you know, I guess if you're a movie aficionado, you include foreign films and what we used to call artsy pictures.
Yeah.
I won't say the other word.
Yeah.
Went with the artsy part. But,
yeah.
But yeah, I had really have no interest in those type of films.
Have you ever gone to foreign films that are subtitled and sat through them?
I have a couple of times.
It's
and
tough, especially if you're dyslexic.
It's too much like work. At the Palace, when they show their movies, I think one of the days that they have their movies, they do subtitles for people that are hard of hearing or whatever.
Yeah, and that's understandable.
And a couple of times we've gone to those because we couldn't make the other performances. And it's difficult for me because, and here's the problem that I have, I'm busy reading what the character's saying.
Get to look at the
characters. Even though I can hear the character, I'm still looking at it, and I don't see the people's face.
And that's so much of the acting.
Yeah, to get the expressions and what's going on there. So, but we'll save musicals for the next time.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention these couple of things again. I'm not going to go through this whole big announcement about throwing 20th event again. But
we're down to three minutes.
But
so
for on October the 16th at the Historical Society, we're going to have the Roaring Twenties event. It's called Roaring Twenties at Heritage Hall and Wind Up Popcorn Museum. We'll be featuring 1920 style drinks and hors d'oeuvres. We'll have characters there such as Warren and Florence Harding. Cole Porter, Edward Huber, Groucho Marx, many other local and national celebrities. This is a 21 and older event, so it's not for kids.
Yeah.
Tickets are limited in number and available now, so you can either call the Historical Society at 740-387-4255 or www.marionhistory.com or stop there at the museum Monday through Friday or Wednesday through Sunday if you want to go during the museum hours and get tickets. But it's they're on sale right now, and it's October the 16th, and it's going to run from 6 to 9 in the evening.
Okay.
So should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you'll be able to get your good night sleep in after it's done.
Yeah, I would think. And also we've got our gun raffle going on right now. We're raffling off a Henry 357 Magnum rifle featuring an engraving of the Marion steam shovel on one side and the Historical Society's logo on the other. Tickets are limited to 400. They're $10 a piece or 2 for 20. They can be obtained by, again, going to the museum or going online, either place, and find those. And then tickets are now being sold for the Dinner with the Presidents, which we have every year. This is Saturday, November the 6th, 5:30 to 8:30 at Dayspring Wesleyan Church across from Menards. The event pricing, $32 for general seating, $20 for kids age 5 through 12. We will have a number of presidents there, the speaking presidents this year, George Washington, Martin Van Buren, Warren Harding, John Kennedy, and a special guest, Mary Ellen Withrow, who I understand will be with Scott tomorrow at Kroger's.
Is that right?
I believe, yeah. I think, I don't know what they've got going on there, but when I was at the small Kroger store yesterday, I think it was, there was a sign there that said Mary Ellen Withrow was going to be there from, I think, 4 to 6 on Friday.
Very good. She's always a pleasure to talk to. Well, we're down to our last 30 seconds. So,
and I have to apologize for my voice. I'm suffering from hay fever. I have allergies this time of year. So,
I hear you. All right. Well, we're going to have you on next month, and we're going to finish this up. We're going to talk about the musicals. And I love the musicals.
And maybe some others.
I performed in musicals most of my career. So we'll talk about that. And I hope you had a great day. Don't forget to come back after the 15 minutes.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The place for guests.